listeners. This is your friend Harry Benton with you again. And it is my pleasure on behalf of the Voice of Melody team to welcome you to this time of Christian radio fellowship. We have another interesting half hour of gospel music and meditation from the Word of God to share with you. We trust you will be encouraged, challenged and spiritually blessed through today's presentation of Times of Refreshing. The Christian Walk of Will Houghton, a noted preacher of the gospel, who became the president of Moody Bible Institute during the 1940s, played a large role in the conversion of an agnostic who was contemplating suicide. The skeptic was desperate, but he decided that if he could find a minister who lived his faith, he would listen to him. So he hired a private detective to watch William Houghton. When the investigator's report came back, it revealed that this preacher's life was above reproach. He was for real. The agnostic went to Houghton's church, heard him preach, was convicted of his sin, and accepted Christ as his personal saviour. My friends, a godly life awakens spiritual and moral sensitivity in those who observe us, and it gives power to our words of witness. It is the responsibility of every born-again believer to let their light shine. This is the topic we will be considering on our program today, Letting Your Light Shine.
Of every day, not just sometimes, every moment of every day.
In Matthew's Gospel, chapters 5, 6 and 7, we read of that great and wonderful discourse of our Lord Jesus Christ, always referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. It was the privilege of the disciples of the Lord to receive this valued teaching at the outset of our Lord's public ministry. Early in chapter 5, in verses 14 and 15, Jesus, the master teacher, pointed out to his disciples one of the many important roles for those who would be his followers. By way of illustration, Jesus said to them, "As you take up residence in the community, as my disciples, you are to be seen as a city is set upon a hill. A city in such a position is clearly seen." In verse 14, the Lord said to them, "You are the light of the world." Now, what did our Lord mean by this? "You are the light of the world." I believe he was reminding his disciples that as he himself is the light of the world, and as they had received him as their Lord and Saviour, their testimony, their witness for him, wherever they settled in the community, their light should always be seen and never to be concealed. My Christian friends, have you ever thought of yourself as being a light? A bright, shining light in your part of the world? As a born-again believer, you have a given responsibility from your Lord and Saviour to let your light shine. You received that light at the time you were saved, the day you trusted the Lord Jesus as your personal Saviour. Life, eternal life, was born in you, and now possessing eternal life, you now become a light for Jesus Christ in this dark, sinful world. Before you were saved, you were in spiritual darkness. Your spiritual insight and understanding was blinded by Satan. You walked along in the sphere of spiritual darkness until the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, shone into your heart. 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. It is because of sin's darkness that we are to let our lights shine. In Matthew 5 and verse 16, the Saviour said to his disciples, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Friends, in every community there are many, many people, young and old, who are still in spiritual darkness. They are in need of the light of the gospel. The message of the gospel has been entrusted to each of us who know the Lord as Saviour. We have in our trusted care a powerful light that can reach into the deepest and darkest recesses of every sinful and wicked heart. The gospel is so strong a light, it carries with it so much of its own evidence. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Romans 1 and verse 16. My friends, it is important that you let your light shine before your peers, before your family and friends, before your neighbours, relatives, and even among those with whom you work. Your light is needed in this dark world of sin. As your light shines today, it could be a welcome light. The word of testimony you share with someone could be a timely message for them. Your light, as it shines today, could also be a guiding light, pointing someone to the Lord Jesus Christ. It could also be a warning light, saving someone who is on their way to a lost eternity. The poet Warner penned these lovely words: Jesus bids us shine as we work for him, bringing those who wander from the paths of sin. He will ever help us if we shine, you in your small corner and I in mine.
Oh, I want to be remembered as the girl who sang a song for Jesus Christ, who was willing to lay down her life and do his will no matter what the price. Well, I'm singing for the deaf man who can hear about salvation through my song.
Apostle Paul was a prisoner in a Roman jail. He took the opportunity to write a letter to a company of born-again believers in the city of Philippi. Having written this letter, he sent it by the hand of Epaphroditus. Paul was the man God used a few years earlier to bring the light of the gospel to them. Through his faithful witness and testimony, this New Testament church at Philippi was born. One of the many encouraging things Paul had to say to them in his letter are the words we find written in chapter 2, verses 14 to 16. Now, this is what it said. He said to them, "Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, children of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life." Friends, the word of life is the word of God, and the word of God is both a lamp to the feet and a light to the path. Psalm 119 and verse 105. There is an interesting story told of Samuel Hebeck, a missionary whose labours were greatly blessed in India. Realising the great need of the white heathen, as he termed them, he spent much time visiting the garrisons of British officers, many of whom he had led to the Lord. One day, on his regular visits to the barracks in Madras, he called on an officer who was taking an afternoon siesta. After the usual greetings, the missionary requested the officer to bring out his Bible, the book that he had never read for himself. "Open it, please, to the first chapter of Genesis and read from verse 1. The officer obeyed and read, "In the beginning God created the heaven and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." "That will do. Shut the book." "Let us pray," said Hebek. So they knelt down and Hebek prayed. After this, the missionary said farewell to the officer. The following day, the young officer was lounging in his large armchair, unoccupied the previous day. Once again, there was the sound of footsteps and the missionary appeared. Again, he asked the officer to bring out his Bible and to read from Genesis chapter 1. The officer agreed and continued on with these words, "And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters." "That will do," said Hebek. "Let us pray." This time the officer listened to the prayer, such a prayer as he had never heard before. The missionary talked as to an intimate friend, telling God, his heavenly Father, about the young officer, and imploring him to reveal to him his need that he might find salvation and flee to the open arms of the Redeemer. Again, he took leave as on the previous day. If ever a man was humbled, convinced that he was a sinner, and realized his need of a Savior, that officer did. How he spent time till the next day, he did not know. The next day, at the same hour, he heard the footsteps again. The Bible lay open before him. He rose to meet Samuel Hebek and took his hand, saying, "Mr. Hebek, it is all plain to me now. What must I do?" Looking at him with true Christian love, Hebek quoted the next verse of Scripture from Genesis chapter 1. "And God said, let there be light. And there was light." Then he quoted Acts chapter 16 and verse 31 in answer to the young officer's question, "What must I do?" Hebek said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." They both knelt down together. The light of the gospel of Jesus Christ had shone into the officer's heart, and he prayed from the heart for the first time in his life. How true are the words of Psalm 119 and verse 130, "The entrance of thy word giveth light." My Christian friends, a little light in a dark place serves a great purpose. Jesus said, "You are the light of the world."
If not in you, I wonder where will they ever see the one who really cares? If not from you, how will they find? There's one who heals the broken heart and gives sight to the blind. If you're the only Jesus some will ever see, and you're the only words of life some will ever read, so let them see in you the one in whom is all there. ever need. But you're the only Jesus some will ever see. And if not you, I wonder who will show them love, and love alone can make things new. If not from you, how will they learn? There's one who'll trade their hopelessness for joy in return. You're the only Jesus some will ever see. That some will ever read. Oh, let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need. You're the only Jesus some will ever see. Oh, let him shine, let him show, let them see.
My dear friends, when sin first entered into the stream of humanity in Eden's garden, it plunged the whole race of mankind into spiritual darkness. In this sphere of darkness, every man, woman, boy and girl continues to live who knows not Jesus Christ as their personal Saviour. It was into this world of sin that our Lord Jesus came. His coming is described in Luke chapter 1 and verse 79 as this: to give light to them that sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. In John 8 and verse 12, Jesus said of himself, "I am the light of the world." As the light of the world, he can lead and bring the lost sinner out from the realm of spiritual darkness into the realm of his marvelous light. The work of Satan and his cohorts is to keep the sinner in bondage and in darkness. Those who yield to his subtle power, continuing to be ruled by him, their latter end will be the blackness of darkness forever. In that place, the Bible calls the lake of fire. Friends, our Lord Jesus offers to us all spiritual light and eternal life. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Apart from him, there is no deliverance from the blackness of sin. Isn't this what you desire, my friend? Deliverance from sin's penalty? Apart from our Lord Jesus, there is no guidance along the way of life. Again, isn't this what you would like to have? One to guide you along the pathway of life? My friends, apart from our Lord Jesus, there is no knowledge of the real issues of eternity. This surely is what you would desire to know. Why not accept the Lord Jesus as your Saviour today? He that followeth me will not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. To follow him means to come to him in repentance, confessing your sin, seeking his loving forgiveness. To follow Jesus Christ is to trust him as your Lord and Saviour, and then to yield yourself totally to him and to shine for him each day.
I want the whole wide world to know, to know.
I want the whole world to know what Jesus has done for me. He gave me new understanding, new love for all mankind. He put a new song in my heart that I'm singing all the time. I want the whole world to know that Jesus died for you. Through his death on Calvary's tree, you now can live eternally. I want the whole wide world to know. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your heart, living within you as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you be able to feel and understand, as all God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, and how high his love really is. I want the whole world to know.
In closing our time of fellowship with you today, we would remind listeners of our free cassette offer. A copy of today's program is available on cassette, free and postage paid. To obtain your copy, we invite you to address your request to Times of Refreshing, Post Office Box 66, Lilydale 3140. When writing, be sure to include in your letter this number, 944, cassette number 944. And the mailing address again is Times of Refreshing, Post Office Box 66, Lilydale 3140. Today's broadcast has been a radio missionary outreach of the Christian Brethren Assemblies of Victoria, and is made possible by God's provision through his people. We thank you, friends, for your company today. Until next we meet, this is Harry Venton, wishing you God's richest blessing. Goodbye for now, and remember, keep looking up.